To me, it's been about the learning, and every day is different. Sometimes you get really upset.
Right.
You have really, really bad days.
Right.
But you're never bored.
When I was a little girl playing in my father's office, I dreamed of learning how to code. But my dad wasn't a coder, he was a businessman, and I never got to learn how, and it's been something that I've been curious about my whole life. And now, like, this whole world is startup and tech crazy, and I just want to know how to code too. Hack Reactor makes coding professionally go from being a dream and something that you just desire to have to really being a legitimate programmer. You could get a job straight away after. Even if you've been curious and you want to improve your skills and you're working in the marketing department and you happen to have to learn how to do HTML and you want to take your steps that much further, you got to check out Hack Reactor. Hack Reactor is the trusted environment, academic level education to go to become the best programmer that you could possibly be. Not only will you get the education, but you'll get the support from them to make sure that you're not alone in the journey. HackReactor.com.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am in Lisbon, Portugal, and Lisbon has a thriving tech community. It's been really exciting to get to know the fabulous women in tech here. And today I am with, how do you say it, Inês?
It's an impossible word. It's impossible.
Now, are you Portuguese?
I am Portuguese.
So that's
yes.
It's a Portuguese name. It's I-N-E-S.
Yes, but then it has a funny accent on top of the E and it
say
makes it.
Say it again.
Inês.
Inês.
It's almost unpronounceable.
Inês.
Yes, you're getting close.
Okay.
Yes. Good enough. I'll get you.
So Inês and I are here at the home co-working space, which I'm super stoked they've let us do all the interviews in today. It's been such a fabulous day. It's great. So Inês, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your company.
Okay, so my company is Petable, which is a platform for pet owners and veterinary clinics based on preventive healthcare for pets. So everybody who's in love with pets should have our app.
And who's not in love with pets?
So I'm the co-founder of Petable, and I'm actually a veterinarian. So that part of being in tech, I'm actually a founder of a tech company.
I mean, How did you go from being a veterinarian to being involved in the tech space?
Well, actually, it was an opportunity that came up, and I just grabbed it. I was finishing my PhD, dealing with being a teacher and, you know, those kind of ordinary jobs. And a friend came up. He's also a veterinarian. He's my co-founder, Bruno. And he just said, well, I have an idea, and I need somebody to work with because this is impossible to be alone.
Right.
And I started first just on a very sort of helping basis, and then I got deeper and deeper into it, and so that's how it happened. The opportunity came up, and I was in love with the idea, and I just grabbed it.
So you got involved in the tech world, and was that kind of overwhelming coming from the veterinary industry, and now you're like going into a whole new industry? It's like you have to become an expert in two different fields.
It was overwhelming. Sometimes it still is. I won't lie to you.
Yeah.
But it's such a learning experience that it compensates everything. Sometimes you just get run over by a truck, you know? For example, bringing on board an entire development team, which we had to do because we are veterinarians. Yeah. We don't know anything.
Wait, you're all veterinarians.
No. We are three veterinarians, two co-founders vets. We have another person because we need to communicate with the vets and with the pet owners in a language that they understand. So it's very useful to have vets on board.
Right.
But then we do have an app and a back office and a back end and all that.
So how big is your team now?
We are nine right
now.
That's
a pretty nice sized team.
Yeah. When we brought all that development team on board, it was getting hit by a truck because all of a sudden I needed to learn how to work with things called like GitHub.
And yeah.
Teamwork.
Totally.
So that all and what on earth is an API or something like that.
Totally.
So learning all that and to be able to judge and to determine what was better for the company was overwhelming. But it was, then again, we have such a skill set right now that it's great. So it was a very good experience so far.
So tell me about how you go ahead and become a female founder. Like, what were some of the initial challenges that you had to overcome?
Ooh, that's a hard one. Well, specifically me as a founder, when I got into the company, I'm a bit older than I think most of the founders are when they start in this kind of entrepreneurship world. Because I'm 38 now, so I was about 34, 35 when I started.
Right.
And I already had two kids, like a normal mom life normal family life.
Yeah.
And so getting in the middle of that was a bit crazy, you know, and even just the time management is different.
Right.
On the other hand, I think I brought in a lot of skill sets that and a lot of abilities that were helpful in the team and in the company. Because, you know, moms can do anything and everything, and we have a very pragmatic sense of life. And so that helped, I think. So it was the conjugation of that for me was really nice. It was, at the same time, it was hard in the beginning because I didn't understand what on earth is all this. It's just a bunch of kids playing startups.
We're all kids. Yes, yes.
But then in the end, I think I got excited with it and just became a kid myself. So it was so far, it's been a very good experience.
And how did you go about building your team? Like, who was your first hire?
Ooh, the first hire, well, it wasn't one, it was three, because we have Android, iOS, and a back office for clinics. So we needed an Android developer, an iOS developer, and a full stack sort of person.
Right.
Those were, I think, the first three hires, and then a salesperson to sell to veterinary clinics. So the first, it wasn't one hire, it was four.
Right.
We've changed a bit of our direction as any startup. So now we don't have a commercial team anymore, but we still have the development on board. So it keeps changing, but those were the first ones.
And what did you look for in those hires? Like, how did you know that they were the right person for the job?
I didn't.
You're like, I still don't.
I still don't. No, actually, hiring is, and this is no news for anybody, is one of the hardest things in startups.
Completely.
And the harder or the more orthodox is the labor market, which in Portugal we do have a very orthodox labor market, the harder it is because you make a choice and you kind of have to stick to it for periods no shorter than 6 months. You're forced to making wrong hires comes with a very high cost.
Right.
I think sometimes we get it right, and we did get it right with the commercial team. We just didn't go any further that way.
Right.
So they were not wrong hires. They we just changed our direction. And the development team, I think we've been pretty much getting it right. Sometimes you need to squeeze them a bit more.
Yeah.
Or give them different tasks than initially established, but it's going well.
And who is your target market? Who are you looking to serve?
Well, we sort of have a B2B2C model. So our target is the pet owners, anybody with a pet, whatever pet, a tarantula is fine, is our we work for the pet owners, but they don't pay us. We don't make money through the app. Mm-hmm. So the client itself, the paying, are the veterinary clinics, and then any pharmaceutical company that wants to partner with us. With Petable, we have access to remote behavior of people, which usually pharmaceutical companies don't. Especially that behavior related with pets, because pets don't talk. So pharmaceutical companies are very interested in the data we collect about that remote behavior.
Right, right.
So those are our main clients, the corporate clients that pay us. There's a lot of revenue chains there that we can explore within the veterinary market. But that's basically it.
And have you raised money?
Yes, in Portugal. Oh. Yeah, we've been invested by Portugal Ventures, which is a venture capital in Portugal.
We were actually talking about them earlier today.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's not that many more in Portugal. and actually, we are starting our operation in the U.S. right now.
Congratulations. Yes. Are you allowed to share how much you raised?
No.
Is it above $1 million?
No. It's okay. For Portugal, it's a nice seed round.
Yeah.
If for the United States value, it would be sort of angel round.
Yeah,
because the values change. What do I say? That the United States, we're very exciting times right now.
Totally.
Because we've been accepted just a year ago or so in a program in IC2 Go Global. It's in University of Texas that welcomes Portuguese startups who want to launch in the U.S. And so we've been, for the past year, preparing launching in the U.S., so we've been transforming our entire communication, the app itself, everything is now English.
Right.
And we are starting to work the social media for American users. And we are launching in Texas, actually, which is a very uncommon launch.
Are you going to South by?
No, because we are going to start with veterinary specialized events. So we are going to something called the TVMA, which is the Texas Veterinary Medical Association conference.
Do you know one of my favorite mentors? He was the CMO of this company called Aurabrush, Jeff Harmon, who took a company from nothing to over $1 million in sales utilizing YouTube mm-hmm. in under a year. And he said, I never understand why marketers go to marketing conferences. Marketers should go to the conferences or events where their target market is. Sounds like that's what you're doing. No, I'm not. I'm going to where all the vets are.
Yes, I'm going to where all the vets are, precisely. Yeah. And we're launching in Texas because it's funny. The program we're in, it's in Austin. Mm-hmm. Austin is the American city right. with the biggest number of dogs per right. person. So right. it's great for us. And we think there's a lot of less noise there. So right. it's not like San Francisco or New York right. where all the buzz is happening.
Right.
So if we cover just Texas and get a very good traction there, yeah. then it'll help us grow for the rest of the United States. Yeah. But right now we're focusing there. And it's been very exciting. It's working well.
Awesome. What has been your favorite part about being a female founder? Because it's not easy. It's grueling and you have a family. So how do you balance the two, and what's the drive behind continuing to pursue being an entrepreneur?
I never think in terms of entrepreneur. It's serious.
Yeah.
To me, it's been about the learning, and every day is different, and every day you do something different. So sometimes you get really upset.
Right.
You have really, really bad days.
Right.
But you're never bored.
Right.
And to me, that's the greatest thing.
Definitely never bored.
Yes, yes. And you have every day is something different happens, and you have a task list that never gets done.
Right.
And it's always different. And I think that compensates for the bad days and the not so good salary and, you know, yeah. all the bad parts. And to me, that's about it. I never think of myself as I'm a very organized person, and
right.
I'm the operations part of Petable. Right. And I get sure that everybody gets paid and that there's toilet paper and coffee and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I tend to live more the day to day. Bruno is more, my partner is more the person who, he's the CEO, and we have a very well established team in that sense, just naturally. I do the day to day and he does the, you know, thinking out loud things. And so I never see myself as an entrepreneur because I just pay the bills. somebody has to.
So do you see yourself as a wallet?
Yeah, sometimes they treat me as a wallet, yes. That's true. No, but what I mean is that I never get bored.
Right.
I have very bad days, but it's so thrilling and so exciting the day to day.
Totally.
That it compensates. I think it's a good thing.
It's inexplicable being an entrepreneur, how difficult it is and how rewarding it is at exactly the same time.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yes.
Your brain explodes most days.
No, sometimes it's just, I have a knot in my brain. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. Totally.
I remember when we started, we were applying for funds and everything. And one of the things that kind of gave me a knot to my brain was the evaluation thing.
Yeah.
And, what? How come I just put a couple of, I don't know, $2,000 in the company defense for food and family. And all of a sudden you're talking about 2 million. I have a knot in my brain. I cannot do this anymore.
Totally.
Just go for a walk. Because this is too much. Then I learned that part. Okay, I learned. Yeah. And so that's how you evolve. And sometimes you don't really understand or see it. You need to really look back.
Right.
Because when it's happening, you don't realize how much you're learning or how much. And sometimes you step back and say, wow, how stupid I was just 2 months ago.
Totally.
Completely clueless.
Totally.
You know? And it's a cycle, and it happens about a lot of different things, and it's really nice. And then you are able to, sometimes in a weekend, you step back and, that's nice.
I feel as an entrepreneur, I feel as though I'm constantly my own science project, and I'm constantly trying to tweak myself and how I view the world and how I communicate.
That's a good definition.
How I write,
yes.
How I process information. Like, it's a constant evolution of tweaking myself to be the most optimized business person.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's frustrating.
Yes, because you're never there.
and I'm like, okay, those emotions don't really apply here. Let's try to figure out how not to be so emotional about something.
You have to be, but I think emotions are also a part of the thing, and it's good. I think women do bring that kind of good feeling to the emotional part is important as well.
Right, right.
And I think that's a part of being
because
a woman.
Because it's part of our intuition well, to sense what works, what doesn't, who's the right fit, who's not the best fit. How would you say that you overcome challenges?
Hard working.
Hard work.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
I understand. There's a lot of people, and they make me crazy, but I need to accept them.
Right.
We're just gut feeling people.
Right.
You know, and they get it right.
Yeah.
First time, or because it's a gut feeling thing.
Yeah,
I don't do that. I'm a very hard worker, very systematic, very organized, and I just struggle until it gets done.
Yeah.
And if
but
it's my thing. I accept other methods. That's how I overcome challenges.
I wanted to ask you, where does being an entrepreneur take pause and being a mother start?
7 p.m. School closes.
The computer closes and the motherhood opens.
Well, yeah. I get up very early sometimes when I need to really work. I'm a morning person.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it works better. If I get up at 5:30 and get on with until they get up, which is around 7:30. Drop them at school and I'm working again at 8:39. So that gap between breakfast and they're 4 and 5. So it doesn't really, if they're there and if they're awake, multitasking and working at the same time doesn't really go well.
Yeah.
And so that's how I prefer to do things. And then when we're home, if I have to do something, I wait for them to go to bed and I work afterwards. Although I do prefer the mornings. But it's with their age, being so young, 2 boys, no, it doesn't work working at home. To me, it doesn't work. So I have to organize the schedules.
Right.
When I'm working, I'm working. When I'm with them, I'm with them. And then work gets done, well done. My feeling is the times I've tried turning on the computer and working while they are there and active.
Yeah.
They don't get attention,
right?
And the work doesn't get done properly.
Totally.
So it's a mess.
And the one thing I didn't ask properly is what inspired you to create your company in the first place?
Well, it was actually being vets. We actually realized that there was a gap in vets communicating with pet owners.
Veterinarians,
yes. I'm sorry. So because pet owner goes to the clinic, gets a vaccination, has no clue why the pet gets that vaccine, goes home, and he has a calendar, which usually is a post-it that gets lost on the way home with whatever he needs to do at home, dewormings, whatever pills, and when he needs to come back to the clinic. And then, so the pet owner has no incentive, nothing to do. He doesn't know why or when very well to take care of his pet. And then from the vet side, the veterinarian side, there's still people actually using postcards to remind people, hey, you need to get back to the clinic, like physical postcards in paper. Or SMS, and nobody actually pays attention anymore to SMS. So there's a communication gap here. We have estimates of about 95 million pets dying of preventive causes in the next 10 years alone, just because people don't really know why and when they should do things. So there's a communication gap here. And being veterinarians and having a lot of veterinarian friends actually owning veterinary clinics, we realize, okay, there's a problem here because people don't do what they should do. There's emotional losses, but there's also a lot of money not being spent and earned in this process.
Yeah.
And so that's where he came in, filling that gap.
You reminded me of my personal story, and it's this time that I took my pet to the vet and everything was supposedly fine and it wasn't fine. And I wish that I had more of an understanding because all these years later it still sits with me. Like, could I have done more?
More, yes. One of the things we do is trying to provide pet owners with context. So every time they get a vaccine reminder or a deworming reminder, or we have also, we have predefined health plans that help people remind that it's time, okay, your dog is 7 years old. You should now be doing a geriatrics program for him. That kind of thing. We also provide people with messages or articles or whatever, explaining them why is this important. If your cat doesn't get out of the house, you should still vaccine him and you should still deworming.
Right.
Because you bring stuff. And some people don't even, it's as simple as this. So we try to provide people with context. Our numbers say that we have an increase in 25 to 30% compliance with the health plans, basic. So it's not perfect, but it's a very good increment on what clinics are doing.
Well, I would have loved to have that.
Yeah.
What would you say you've learned about achieving your dreams?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I haven't.
No, I actually love that answer.
I haven't. I want the company to be successful, as in completely sustainable.
Yeah.
I don't dream of an exit, but I'm a very basic person. I'm not saying this very trying to diminish myself or anything. I want the company to be successful because I want it to be sustainable.
Right.
I want it to go to do well because it's sort of another baby I have.
Right.
I don't dream of the $1 million exit or of anything like that. I have a decent life. I'm happy with what I have. So trying to achieve my dreams, that one I haven't. And apart from that, it's the usual thing. I want my kids and myself to be healthy and happy for the rest of my life. But so that's an ongoing dream.
Thank you so much for spending your time with the Women in Tech podcast. So if you guys want to connect further with more incredible women in tech, go to the Women in Tech Facebook group, which you could go to by going to womenintechvip.com. You could also connect with me at Esprit DeVore on Twitter or at Women in Tech Show. And again, check out homelisbonhostel.com. Seriously, the best place to stay in Lisbon. And they have this fabulous co-working space in which Andrew has been so kind to be quiet. Andrew, you want to make a quick cameo real quick? Tell us about your startup.
Hello, I'm Andrew from Zapit. We provide merchants with click and collect or store pickup solutions for their Shopify store or BigCommerce store. And that's about it.
And how do you spell Zapit?
It's ZAPIET.com.
And who is your target customer?
We've got customers in over 70 countries at the moment, about 2,000 merchants using. So anybody from, florists to bakeries to butchers to fashion retailers, any online retailer, really.
And how can people connect with you?
Pretty much on Facebook. I can't remember the URL though.
Are you on Twitter or email?
Yeah, we're on Twitter. So the handle Zapit, which is ZAPIET. And mine is CargiX1. So CargiX1.
Perfect. Thank you, Andrew. That was Andrew from the home co-working space, which was awesome. A little cameo for you guys. I always think it's great. There's been a few times where I'm in like a public environment and the guys are so cool and they're like so respectful of the women. They're like, we want to make sure they have everything that they need. And yeah, so I always want to honor them. And Ed, thank you so much for hanging out.
Thank you for having me.
This has been just awesome. Where can people find you online?
Oh, Petable.care. Facebook, Petable Care.
Oh, Petable Care. And yeah. do you have your own Twitter or something like that?
The Petable is at Petable Care, I think.
And it's PETABLE.
Yes.
Care on both Twitter and Facebook.
Yes.
So also you could look up Inez on LinkedIn. So it's INES and then VIEGAS. Yes. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Give me five.
You too. Yay. Wrong hand.
Awesome. All right, you guys. See you guys. Talk to you guys. Hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech show is hosted by Esprit DeVore, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.